From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of February 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. A bit later in the program, Mark Schleusner will be here. Mark is the state statistician from USDA NAS for the state of Illinois. And there's a survey that's been just sent out to about 1,000 Illinois farmers on the nutrient loss reduction strategy and some of the practices producers put in place. We'll talk with him about it, how it was impacted by the furlough that took place or the government shutdown, and how quickly he'd like those surveys back. Then as we close our time out together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. That with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. There you can also register for the All Day Ag Outlook. It's Tuesday, the 5th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Tickets are just $30, or you can call right now, 800-898-1065.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's turn our attention now directly to the marketplace. We're joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Hey, good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon. Glad to be here.
So it looked like it was a really quiet day in Chicago. Any news to speak of?
Well, you know, it was a very quiet day, and that's what everybody said on their noon updates and this morning, and it says it looks like we're all in a hurry to go nowhere until we see the numbers on Friday or get some numbers out of get some results out of the Chinese negotiations, I think, along the way. So actually no news. We did have a few more announcements of some sales of beans, but when it was all said and done, when that happened in the early morning break, and then we come back, well, we actually traded down a little bit because they were looking for a few more numbers to be announced. But, you know, we're seeing the best sales we've seen in months here in the last week, and we're not reacting favorably to them because we've already reacted to the announcement from President Trump and President Xi on this earlier last week.
Yeah, so we'll hear about this in the newscast, but about 2.6 million tons have been purchased. I suppose they have some yet to go based on the last week's discussion, so another 5 million tons. Though it's never quite clear with the Chinese whether that's 5 million from the first meeting back in late 2018 or it's 10 million total, but I suppose we'll add them all up and we'll figure it out over time. What are your expectations? You mentioned the USDA reports. When you look forward to those Friday's numbers?
Well, I think you know, there's a couple of things that we're sort of looking for. We're hoping that we'll see a cut in the Argentine or the Brazilian corn or bean crop. You know, a lot of them are looking that we could cut that down as much as from 122 down to 115. Some of them going a little lower. Michael Cordonier is down at 113 now, but he did raise the Argentine crop 1.5 million metric tons on that. Also looking this the we should looking for a lower acreage harvested in the corn for our report. And maybe a little bit of cutback in yield and also a little bit of a cutback in the bean yield also that would keep us down in that way. You know, the question is going to be then, will we lower some feed usage because of the barley that we didn't get, or the sorghum that did not get shipped out, and it sort of competed against corn through the year, and will we lower the ethanol usage because the ethanol crush was a little lower in November on that way too. So, but the main thing is we're hoping for is to keep that carry out and the beans down under the, you know, down to 900 million, under a million metric tons, you know, for our carry out that way. So, you know, that's the big thing we're looking at. But also the real positiveness that we can maybe get some of these sales started to China again.
Yeah, the other thing is, and we haven't talked about this yet, but February is the crop insurance setting month. How are we looking to this point? And, of course, we're only, what, 5 days in, but what are the expectations?
Yeah, well, you know, we are staying above $4 in the corn, and you look at the November beans, you know, and they're in the 950 to 960 range. You know, that's 40, you know, 50 cents less than last year. So, but I mean, basically carrying on, it's better than we were maybe hoping for at this time because of the Chinese negotiations going on with the beans, I think especially. And we're keeping the corn market up a little bit on the idea that they might buy some corn too in the deal if it goes along as how they were going along, expecting it to go. So we're a little bit of a positive anticipation that is helping the insurance price.
And finally, the acreage report is due at the end of the month of March, although the Purdue Ag Barometer suggested that producers aren't planning to put nearly as many soybeans in this year as they did last. What do you make of that set of numbers?
Well, I think that basically along the way, a lot of guys are a little bit scared of too many soybeans, if even with this, because of the carryout number that we're looking at. Even if we do get some sort of deal with China, we're still looking at one of the biggest carryouts we've seen and doing that. Now, what crops we're going to go to, especially when you look at we're going to get the wheat plantings, and the wheat planting numbers are probably going to be down from what they were. Will we see enough switch over that way, taking away from the bean acres because of the profitability levels? You know, with this 960 type fall price, you know, is that enough of a dip to get them to change those acres? That's sort of the big question mark. You know, the other thing is fertilizer prices. We're talking about less than half the amount of anhydrous was put on this fall for corn. So we've got a lot of ability to switch more acres if things end up differently down the road. But I'm still thinking that the carry out in the beans is going to be big enough that we won't see a big increase in bean acres.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon, and he'll be one of a dozen of our regular on-air analysts that will be at the All-Dag Outlook on Tuesday, the 5th day of March, over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can join us, too. The tickets are just $30. You can buy them online right now at WILLAG.org. Just hit the great big Buy Your Tickets Online line right there on the webpage. Or you can dial this number, 800-898-1065, anytime between 8:30 and 5 p.m. each and every business day of the year. The All-Dag Outlook is set for the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Again, the cost is $30. That includes the whole of the program, your Beef House morning coffee and a roll, and the Beef House lunch as well. We'll kick off things early in the morning with Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. He'll talk us through the weather forecast, not only here in the United States, but in Brazil and South America. The Cash Grain Panel will include Matt Bennett and Aaron Curtis, along with Brian Stark and Chuck Shelby. We'll talk about the value of farmland with Murray Wise from Murray Wise Associates, and take up soybeans with Alan Dearden, Bill Gentry, Pete Manhart, and Bill Merrigan. You can pick those tickets up right now today for just $30 at willag.org or at 800-898-1065. We'll wrap up our day there at the Beef House with the corn panel, including Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Mike Zuzulo, and Todd Hubbs, who's from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Should be a really great day. It always is. If you've not ever been, this is one of the best ways to see so many analysts in one place for a really limited amount of funds. Remember, most of these will cost you $400, $500, $600. We've done this for 29 years, and the cost is just $30. So buy your ticket today, 800-898-1065, or online at willag.org for the All-Dag Outlook. It's Tuesday, the 5th day of March, at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the U.S. Agriculture Department today said that China bought 2.6 million tons of U.S. soybeans, the second confirmed sale since the world's top buyer of oil seeds announced last week it would buy 5 million tons of U.S. supplies during trade negotiations between the two countries. The soybeans will be shipped to China during the current marketing year, which ends August 31st. The U.S. government also announced that private exporters reported the sale of some 274,000 tons of soybeans for shipment to unknown destinations, which traders typically assume to be China. On that note, let's stay with trade. Agricultural leaders of Canada and Mexico will speak at the USDA's 95th Agricultural Outlook Forum later this month. The Department of Agriculture recently announced that the ministers from Canada and Mexico will join Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue for the forum's keynote address on February the 21st. The session will mark the first time the three ministers have spoken jointly at a public forum since the signing of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement in November. Secretary Perdue says the forum will focus on how USMCA will facilitate agricultural trade among the three countries. USDA says this year's Agricultural Outlook Forum, themed Growing Locally, Selling Globally, highlights current issues and trends affecting agricultural production and global markets. USDA says the event also offers a platform for exchanging ideas, information, and best practices. Let's switch to an event that's a bit closer at hand. President Trump plans to press key issues of importance to agriculture in tonight's State of the Union address. Mr. Trump, in his third primetime address to the nation, will call on Congress to work with him on several fronts: infrastructure, lowering health care costs, immigration reform, ratifying the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, and confronting China on unfair trade practices. However, Mr. Trump will continue to face a hostile reception with Democrats amid a fierce standoff over his efforts to build a border wall. American Farm Bureau Federation trade advisor Dave Samuelson says politics is key for doing things like trade deals, including ratifying the USMCA.
That got bipartisan support. It was certainly a long-term talking point for a lot of people on the Democrat side. I think they're willing to engage on the agreement, but you have to have the right political environment.
AFBF's Director of Advocacy and Political Affairs, Cody Lyon, says much will depend on how aggressively majority House Democrats investigate the president and his administration.
The incoming chairs are just chomping at the bit to start their investigations of the president on a variety of different areas. I think that's going to determine what's going to be the tone for the 116th Congress.
And whether the House and Senate, where Republicans expanded their majority, can work together on farm trade and infrastructure, says AFBF Executive Director Dale Moore.
The repair and the maintenance, and more to the point, in some cases, replacement of our locks and dams infrastructure is so critical to agriculture in so many different parts of the country.
But ahead of any new possible deals on infrastructure, Washington faces more fighting on homeland security, the border wall, and an under-the-radar fight over food stamps and work requirements. USDA is moving ahead with those regulations. And finally, this note from USDA and USTR. The Department of Agriculture and the United States Trade Representative's Office are accepting nominations for new members to serve on its Agricultural Trade Advisory Committees. Announced Monday, nominations received by Friday, March 1, 2019, will be considered for the next round of appointments. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says farmer input on the panels can help guide President Trump's trade strategy in opening markets for U.S. agriculture through ongoing trade negotiations. Members of the Agricultural Policy Advisory Committee advise USDA and USTR on operating existing U.S. trade agreements, on negotiating new agreements, and on other trade policy matters. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. We're now joined by Mark Schleusner. He is the state statistician for Illinois with USDA NAS. Mark, thanks so much for being with us. You're here for a particular reason, I know, to talk about a survey that is being done in Illinois that's related to the nutrient loss reduction strategy. For those that have been listening for a couple of years, they know that I produce a podcast for the University of Illinois called the NLRS Podcast. And if you look up NLRS Podcast, you'll find it on the Will Ag website, and you can listen to that podcast and hear about the strategy and some of the things that can be done, including cover crops and minimum tillage and no-till, low-till, even just one less pass, frankly, is helpful. However, NAS wants to know a bit more about this. Can you tell me about the survey you're doing? But maybe we should start with the period of time that you were off, the furlough or the government shutdown time, and some of the things that this has
been surrounded with in terms of why you need the survey filled out quickly.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. We had hoped to mail this project out right after the first of the year on January 2, but because of that shutdown, you know, that didn't happen. All the people who would have been engaged in making sure the envelopes were stuffed and postage was applied, that, you know, they were not at work. And so we did mail them out today, actually, February 4. That was yesterday. And we would like to get responses back in the mail as soon as possible. There's a postage paid envelope, as long as the questionnaire, as well as the questionnaire in the envelope that you will receive.
And what does the questionnaire ask?
We're asking a number of questions about procedures producers use on their farm to retain and preserve the nutrients in their fields for their crops. We're also asking for a breakdown of what might be done on your land that is tiled or non-tiled. So, for instance, cover crops on tiled acres. We'd like to know how many, if you're doing some of that, we'd like to know how many acres are you using cover crops on. Also, timing of fertilizer applications. Some people will apply anhydrous in the fall. Some people will do fertilizer applications in the spring, and those make a difference in what happens with the nutrients in your field. We also ask a few questions about what we call edge of field practices. That would include wood chip bioreactors, constructed wetlands, and saturated buffers.
And why are you collecting the information?
Well, Illinois has a nutrient loss reduction strategy, and we're trying to measure progress along that plan. Some aspects of that plan can be measured from other sources, like the databases that the Farm Service Agency maintains. And those are being used as part of the overall report. Some questions are detailed enough with the breakdown by tiled acres and non-tiled acres that NASS was enlisted to conduct a survey of producers, the best source of information possible.
Is this a NASS Illinois-only survey, or is it being done in other states?
Some other states are doing similar projects, but this is a contract or a project just for Illinois, and the Illinois Nutrient Research Education Council is funding us. The project itself is designed to measure progress along the nutrient loss reduction strategy plan.
And so part and parcel of this is, and producers will understand this, the nutrient loss that feeds the zones in the Gulf of Mexico that aren't oxygenated and that are sometimes a problem, actually often a problem, for wildlife there. And so we're trying to get a better handle, I suppose, on where some of these nutrients come from, and more importantly, how good a job farmers do in the state of Illinois, and mostly they do a pretty decent job, I think, and we're going to put that on a continuum.
That's right. And so we're seeing a growth in the use of cover crops. We'd like to know if that growth has continued. We're seeing people changing to different timing of fertilizer applications. Have you heard this wonderful phrase, they're spoon feeding the crop? Several applications, a little bit at a time, and closer to or after planting, so there's less time for the fertilizer to leave the field. Let me mention a couple things I think are important. We are talking about the 2017 crop year in this survey. There's complicated reasons for that, but think back, please, to 2017.
Yeah, so not 18, not this past year, but the one prior to that.
That's right. And all the responses that come back to NASS are confidential by law and exempt from the Freedom of Information Act. We are going to be reporting out totals and averages for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, so you'll be able to put all those together, and there'll be a baseline from which the state of Illinois can begin to work.
That's right. We've actually conducted this survey once before, so we will be measuring progress along the path. And some other groups are doing similar things. For instance, cities are being measured in the way they handle overflow from too much rain and such like that.
How quickly do you want these back?
We'd like them back soon. We've mailed it out on February 4, and we'd like to get all our results back in by April 1. We will do a second mailing a few weeks after the first for those that don't respond via mail. And we have some money left to do telephone non-response calling to those people who don't reply via the mail.
And how many surveys did you mail?
More than 1,000. We are targeting the field crops operations all across the state of Illinois, north to south, east to west. We are leaving out the fruit and vegetable people. We're kind of after what you might call a typical corn, soybeans, and wheat farm.
You happen to mention that there were other organizations that were interested in the data itself, or at least the collection of the data. Who else is involved in the process?
Well, all of the commodity organizations in Illinois are interested, and they see the value in this report, and they are urging their members to respond to the survey. So the Illinois Corn Growers, the Illinois Soybean Association, the livestock groups as well. The Illinois Farm Bureau is a big backer of this project. They have helped us with publicity, and they've helped us with developing the questionnaire. We tapped into some of their members for their knowledge of what's happening in the field, and I thank them all very much.
Anything else?
Yes, there's a toll-free number that you may want to use. If you get a questionnaire in the mail and you're not exactly sure what this question particularly means, you can call 800-551-1014. 800-551-1014. And please tell the person who answers the phone that you're talking about the nutrient loss survey. The people that answer the phone are dealing with numerous surveys all at one time. We want to help them get focused on the project that you have a question about.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Schleusner is the state statistician for USDA NASS in Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is now here with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Don, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start in South America. Tell me about weather conditions there.
Well, as we know, it's been a very dry in many of the key growing areas of Brazil here, well, for several weeks. The good news in the short term is they've got a little bit of a better chance for some rains in some of those dry areas. I don't think it's going to be enough rain to completely alleviate the dryness, but at least the outlook for Brazil is a little bit better. Argentina has been a spot that's mostly seen adequate rainfall, and that over the next week is going to continue for that area as well.
And then turn your attention to the United States, where I take it that the weather pattern is, well, just interesting.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's basically winter has gotten its mojo here over the last couple of weeks, as we all know. You know, first with the big polar vortex, and we had the big thaw, and now we see another big area of cold air building up over central and northwest areas of Canada. And we're going to see another push of Arctic air. We already have into the northern plains states and the northern Rockies this week. Over the course of the next few days, that colder air is going to push south and spread west to east across the nation. Now, it's not going to be nearly as severe as the cold that came in with the polar vortex, but we are going to be in a pattern where there's going to be several weather systems that will bring shots of cold and along the boundary of the Arctic air to the north and the warmer air to the south will be several small storm systems that will bring about every 3 days or so some chances of snow to the upper Midwest.
And so do you have, I know these are very difficult to pinpoint, kind of a rough line of where that boundary might be?
I think what you're likely going to see is the boundary getting as far south at times as Interstate 70. It's going to be wanting to be more along Interstate 80, but I think I-70 will be at least the boundary now for the southern extent of that colder weather. So I-70 north, it's going to be pretty busy here for the next couple of weeks. Plenty of winter weather to come.
Hey, thanks so much, Don. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Do visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find several things, including our calendar of events and a list on the homepage right now of all the folks that will be at the All Day Ag Outlook. That's Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month, March 5th, at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We'll have a dozen of our regular on-air analyst there, and we'll also take up a couple of important things. The weather forecast, of course. Eric Snodgrass will start off our day, and then we'll be joined by Murray Wise a bit later in the morning there at the Beef House. He's with Murray Wise and Associates, and we'll talk about the agricultural farmland value forecast. You won't want to miss it. It's a great show. This is our 29th year at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost, it's just $30, and for that, you get the whole
show, a morning coffee, and the Beef House rolls, and then a Beef House lunch, too, all for $30. You can sign up right now, willag.org, willag.org, or call 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Buy your tickets today for the Tuesday, March 5th, all-day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.